Well, hello and welcome. Today we have a very special guest. There's a book I read a few years ago called Living Apart Together. And today we have the author, Lisa. If you could tell us a little bit about yourself. Welcome.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here and talking with you. The actual name of the book is Living Happily Ever After Separately. And Living Apart Together, otherwise known as LAT, is a thing. It's a term that got coined, I think, shortly before or sometime around the time that I wrote my book. I wasn't aware that it was a thing or a term when I wrote my book because I wasn't aware of other people who were doing this, which is one of the reasons that I wrote the book. But anyway, it's interesting that you should bring that term up. So yes, we are known as a LAT or living apart together couple.
Yeah. And that's, I'm so sorry. I should have done more of my research before I talked to you. I was just so excited. Like I get to talk to her. I read her book and we were just so excited to read the book. So tell us a little bit about your book and your journey and what made you decide to write the book.
Yeah. Okay. Well, briefly, my husband and I had been married for 23 years. We have a blended family. He came to the marriage with two daughters, and then we had another daughter together shortly after we got married. And my husband is from Germany, and I'm American, and it didn't take long, actually, once we did get married, to discover that there were, just a lot of aspects about each other's personalities that were not a good fit. So the good news is that we are very compatible and very much in agreement and kind of intellectual, spiritual, philosophical, parenting kinds of ways. So the really important stuff, we're very much on the same page. But day-to-day stuff was not as easy. But, we had these three girls and we just kind of slogged through it and did the best we could and raised the girls. And after 23 years, the girls were all out of the house. Our youngest daughter was about to graduate from college or had just graduated from college. But I finally decided, I'm a grown up now and I deserve the life that I really want. And this is not the life that I really want. And for a while I thought about divorce, but that just always felt really icky on a lot of levels. And then one day I finally got this idea that maybe we could just live separately and stay married, because so much of what was toxic in our relationship was really just the day-to-day stuff. I am extremely aesthetically oriented. I need beauty and I need order in my home, whereas my husband grew up on a farm in a small village in Germany, and he's got a very pragmatic, earthy orientation to home.
Very nice.
And so, just a lot of conflict over where things were left, whether shoes had gotten wiped on the doormat. I mean, this kind of stuff. This is little stuff, but not little stuff if it just keeps going day to day. So anyway, I came up with this idea. I actually independently started looking for places because I knew that I couldn't continue to live with him one way or another. And so I had been working with a realtor and had taken a look at several places. And then I sat him down and I pitched the idea to him. And, you know, he's a really good listener when it comes to things that are really important, very good listener. And he just thought about it. And at first, it was kind of a tough pill for him to swallow. But he realized that something needed to change. And so he said, okay, well, you know, let's give this a try. So he came with me to meet with the realtor, and we looked at several properties, and we agreed on the one that we would buy and that I would move and let him have all of his stuff in the family home. And I could just tiptoe away from all of that and bring the things that were important to me. And anyway, so I have this lovely, lovely townhouse. And we have been living separately. I've been here for almost 15 years now.
Wow.
And it's been great. It's been amazing. It totally saved our marriage. Totally, totally saved our marriage. And it was fabulous for the kids as well. Because they no longer needed to deal with the toxicity of our day-to-day goings on.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask how they reacted.
Yeah, they were already out of the house, but when they come back to visit, they always stay at my place because it's livable.
I think you mentioned in the book he has a little more stuff and laissez-faire about putting things places.
Yeah, it's like any horizontal surface has piles of... tools. He's a remodeler, so his tools are all over.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And in my book, I tell the story of how I came up with the idea. I talk about the issues that had come up in our marriage, and then my husband and each of the three girls each wrote a chapter. Just telling their side of the story, which was great. So you really get a 360-degree perspective on the situation. And then at the end of the book, I do a little kind of self-help thing for people who might be thinking about doing something like this. And I give them a set of questions to think about and sort of pros and cons and ways to potentially to proceed. So, you know, if you feel like this sort of thing would work for you, then you might consider doing such and such.
Very nice.
So that's it. We live about 7 miles apart. We see each other. We spend every weekend together pretty much. And then he comes over for dinner one night during the week.
Very nice. So I know it doesn't matter what other people think, but how have you dealt with, especially at the beginning, people are like, wait a minute, you're not really married if you don't live together, or whatever people say.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you might not be surprised to learn that the women were really excited about it. The men, not so much.
Interesting.
So, you know, on a pragmatic level, the women traditionally are the housekeepers and the cooks. And so the men hear that the wife is living somewhere else, where's his housekeeper and cook?
Oh, no. Yes.
And that happened for my husband. He doesn't cook, but, you know, he has his basic food groups in the refrigerator. And he's very healthy and fit. But anyway, yeah. So people were, when we first did this, they were fascinated. And, of course, they sort of, I would imagine, snickered to themselves thinking, okay, well, we'll see how this works out. 15 years later, we're still very married. There hasn't been any extramarital anything, no, you know, no desire or hint of that. We're still devoted to each other. The family is very much intact. And, you know, this is one of the reasons that we did this, is that I just the notion of divorcing and sort of tearing our family apart was just something that would have been such a deep heartache for me and for our daughters. And so now we're still very much an intact family. We just don't live in the same house.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I always, there's laws on marriage, I guess, but there's no rules on like you have to do it this way or that way. And like you said, you have a connection with your husband, but there's no rule book that says you have to figure out how to live together, because there are a lot of conflicts and it's various in different families and whatnot. So I think, yeah, that seems to work for some people. That's great. Why not? There's
no problem. Apparently it's really become a thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. As I say, there's this term, LAT, and celebrity couples have been doing it. And it makes sense when you think about it, just the way our culture has evolved in the last few decades. And more people are into sort of personal growth and just kind of getting to know their inner selves more and feeling more permission to be truthful about what their personal desires are for their lives. And it just makes sense for you to kind of think outside the box and not feel like you're trapped in this conventional picture of a family, and just create the family sort of scenario that works for everybody, rather than what's been passed down generation to generation, more or less successfully.
Right, right. Now, have you talked to other families who have done this with younger children? Because I would assume some people are like, it doesn't matter what other people say, but...
Yes, I have. I've only spoken to one or two other families who've done this. And one of them had young children at the time. And yes, that is more challenging. It is more challenging. But, if you've got a husband and wife whose relationship is no longer harmonious, it's not good for anybody in the house. And so, you have to do what makes the most sense, it's more difficult with children, but I think it's harder for children if the parents are divorced.
Right. And that, you know, and it's
by
in
the same token. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead. And then I'll say what I was going to say.
So by the same token, you know, one of the first reactions that I would get to from people who hear about this sort of variation on the theme of marriage is, oh yeah, well that's great, but we can't afford to live in two houses. And what I would say is, which I think is absolutely true, well, if you get divorced, you have to you're going to be paying lawyers tens of thousands of dollars for the privilege of setting that up for you.
Wow.
So, you know, save yourself the $20,000 or $30,000 of legal fees and put a down payment on a house, or
rent a house, or he remodels and build a little section of a house. Yes, I guess that's what's interesting to me is, you know, when you marry, obviously you connect on many different levels. And probably some people think we have to divorce because of some of these conflicts. And a lot of people, of course, try separation and they might really find out, hey, we love each other. We need our space, or for whatever reason, two separate households. And I know, like, when you do marry, there might be times that the partner is a good fit at that moment, like raising kids together, or, you know, intellectually, but then you have other stages of your life, like when the kids grow up, some couples realize, wait, we're just staring at each other and how do we reconnect? Or with my father, we didn't realize that my stepmother was having a hard time taking care of him when he was really sick and dying. But by then it's too late, and that's not what a marriage is all about anyway. She's like, oh, okay, well, we get some extra help. So, yeah, there's people have their strengths at different times, and, yeah, that was special. But I was like, oh, okay, you don't know. We just don't know. So, now, how was the process of writing the book and sharing such a personal experience for you and the reaction?
You know, it was just a really strong intuition that it was important to do this after several years of people thinking, wow, that's so cool, that's really great, you should write a book.
Got it.
I said, well, all right. And I sat down. I've been a teacher for decades, and I sat down, I think, over Christmas vacation one year and just hammered out most of it and then finished it up over the spring break. And yeah, it is, it's very revealing. I had to, of course, get it okayed by my husband before I sent it out to the publisher. I mean, I didn't do anything too, didn't say anything too embarrassing in the book. But I, you know, I, just by nature, I'm a person who is interested in truth. And I tend to err on the side of full disclosure. And yeah, so people find out that I, you know, had a lot of challenges in my early marriage. And then they find out that we figured out a way to make it work. And so... I don't mind being embarrassed about that. We covered. It's all right.
It all seemed normal to me, and you know, just or what. It doesn't matter if it's normal or not. Whatever, that's another judgment. But you know, just I don't remember any terrible details. You're like, wow. Oh wait, I had a great question, and now it just disappeared on me. No. let's see. You were saying. I should have written it down. How did it go so fast? and how has the reaction been? What have people been saying after they read it or writing to you or in other interviews?
You know, when the book was first published, I did a lot of interviews. And in fact, I mean, we had a big story in the Wall Street Journal. We were flown out to Hollywood to do a talk show. and so for the first few years, there was a lot of activity. And it was really fun sharing our story. Now, unfortunately, we had camera crews come to do stories on us, like news from news stations from Korea.
Wow.
And Russia. And Spain, I think. And anytime one of these interview things came up, I would, you know, sort of have the initial conversations with the producers, and then I would talk to my husband, and I'd say, "Well, Emil, someone else," and he just sort of grumbled. I'm primarily an extrovert, and he's very much an introvert. But he's been a really good sport, and ultimately he really did enjoy these little adventures. It definitely took him out of his comfort zone, but he went along with it. He was a good sport, and it was really a lot of fun. Now, we haven't done really anything in terms of promoting or marketing the book or done any interviews for many years now. It's been out for, I think, 11 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I have a chance to talk to you and get the follow-up now that it's like, that 14 years later or what? Right. I don't know with my math, but, cause I was just impressed. So I was like, oh, I would love to talk to her. I'm a fan. Did anyone say to you then, I saw you on TV?
Yeah.
Very nice. All over the world.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, it was more a matter of local celebrity because there was a big article in The Hook when it first came out. Article and pictures and people in town here would stop and say, I didn't have to see it. Story about you and blah, blah, blah.
How nice. I know what I was going to say. So there's this wonderful book called Mating in Captivity, and I can't think of her name now. She's, you know, it's quoted a lot, and she has, like, TED Talks and was on Netflix. It's about the science of love. And one of the things I remember from her book is, you know, absence really does make the heart grow fonder. They have found lots of science on this of, you know, like if you are even having problems with your relationship, if you're away, when you reconnect, your brain lights up like those first 9 months when you meet someone where you're like on a drug and everything is perfect. Mm-hmm. And then 9 months later, you need to focus on other things because cave people then said, hey, we have this little baby we have to take care of. Right. But that when you are away from someone, when you get back to them, you kind of light that up. So your brain. So have you found that the distance means those once a week meals on the weekday and the weekends are like a little more special or like a reconnection?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Totally. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. There's just so much more appreciation for each other. So much more appreciation and enjoyment. You know, there's a distinction. It, you know, when you're married and living in the same house and you're sharing the same household, you know, your lives just kind of become, you know, like a big pot of vegetable stew just comes to mind somehow. You know, there's all these little pieces and they kind of all swim around. And they're, I think it's hard to create a boundary there. Whereas for us, our time together is very much intentional. It's not just because we happen to be in the same place. And that makes, I think it just makes for a much richer dynamic between us. Then, you know, the time apart is really precious too. You know, as I've gotten older, I realize that I need a lot more alone time, and not just alone from my husband, but alone from everybody else as well.
There you go.
Yeah, so, and that's just, it's precious.
Mm-hmm.
And intention, I think, really plays a big part.
Right, right. Well, I could see how people always living together too. Like you said, the vegetable soup, but you kind of take each other for granted or whatever. And now it's like, oh, it's that night. And yeah. Have there been times that you spent more time together, or you kind of wished like you were there, like when you were sick, or hopefully never had an intruder, but like a big spider, or, you know, because I know when I get sick, like, oh, I want my mommy again. Times like that.
Yeah, a couple of times. Fortunately, my husband is very, very healthy, very fit and very healthy. And he works at it too. So he rarely gets sick. But he got really sick when I had gone to Italy.
Oh, when you were out of town, you were out of the country.
I was in Italy with our daughter, and he called and said, oh, I don't feel so good. It turned out to be a very serious tick-borne disease.
Oh, no.
Not Lyme, but another tick-borne disease. And, you know, he's so healthy, he never goes to the doctor.
Oops.
And at that point, he didn't have a doctor. So we had to sort of figure this out over the phone, you know, across the pond. And that's an example of a time where he really wished that I had been there. The other sort of way in which that comes into play on a much more mundane level is that he is, he comes from the Stone Age when it comes to technology.
Oh, we'll see if to help him.
I am the tech-savvy one in the family, at least between the two of us. And so he's hopeless with anything related to the computer or his phone. And so I've been his coach and his backup on that. Now, you know, on the other hand, he's a remodeler. So anything that needs to be done on either of the houses, he does it. We co-own both houses. Mm-hmm. So it's not my house, his house. It's, you know, it's where he lives and where I live. But both houses are ours. And he's very conscientious about making sure that things are fixed that need to get fixed. And so, yeah.
Now, I guess then, this is a technical question, for your taxes, it doesn't matter where you live. You don't have to do married filed separately because you're really married. So you don't have any penalties. It's because I don't think Uncle Sam ever comes and says, well, where are you 24/7? So as long as you're still married.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I never changed my legal address. So my legal address is still his house.
Mm-hmm. And then there's two properties, so you know, whatever that does, but it, okay, because that was my other question, a technical question. So I'm very fascinated that you know about co-housing. You've met forming co-housing groups. One reason I thought of having you on this show, besides because I'm a fan, is co-housing seems like a great place to try this, because you could live in a separate house or unit from your spouse, or in some co-housing there might be like a basement separate unit that people rent. I mean, it might not be affordable for everyone, because affordable co-housing is another issue altogether. But I thought, wow, I bet a lot of people from co-housing have thought of this, like, well, if we move to co-housing, we get to live apart together, but we're still near each other. still a part of each other's lives. However, now that I've lived in co-housing, I don't know. I think it would be too close, because you get to know everybody very well, so you might not have as much. I mean, I guess it depends what's going on. You wouldn't have that daily running your own household or what's in your house, but you would still pretty much be seen as a, I mean, I don't know. You could be seen as a couple, so I'd wonder if you'd be embarrassed by what your spouse does sometimes. Or just there's just so much involvement with each other, depending on the co-housing unit, of course. But I don't know. I guess it would be up to each couple, but it is definitely an option. There's no rules anyways. Everyone can do what they want. The other thing is, I do know couples who have divorced, and they still live in the same co-housing for many reasons. One, it might be hard. Like, I'm no longer in a relationship with this person, but I obviously love my community, and it helps with co-parenting. So there's definitely versions of that. Maybe I'll put an announcement out and see if anyone is living apart together in co-housing, and do a follow-up with them if they'll be kind to share their story like you are. But that's where I thought co-housing probably attracts people who might just want a little bit of distance, or even an adult child or something. That's a little different, but you know, you can still live in the same community, but you know, you have a somewhat eye on them.
Yeah, you know, when I was involved in this more recent co-housing venture, my hope was that my husband would buy a unit there as well. And we talked about it, and he was a little bit involved in the beginnings of this co-housing community that hasn't quite panned out yet. But, one of the things that comes up is, as we get older, you know, I'm in my late 60s, he's in his mid 70s now, and you know, realistically, as the years roll on, we are going to eventually need more help on a day-to-day basis, and the idea of being that close, you know, to be on the same street or even next door to each other, it has tremendous appeal. You know, in terms of I think if we were younger and maybe, I don't know, feeling the need for more separate identities, it might be more challenging. But I think as we get older, we remain committed to each other and married to each other. At this point, the separation is more a matter of just living choices and, you know, environment, living environment and such. So I think that sort of the short answer to that would be, with or without co-housing, my idea would be to live within walking distance of each other. Not, I wouldn't opt for next door as a first choice, but walking distance. And I would have loved, and we did look at a couple of places walking distance from his house, but it was just too expensive. It was out of my price range. So I think the idea of living in a co-housing community separately, married apart, I think it would be great. I think it'd be a sort of a no-brainer on some levels.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'll have to put a notice out, because in some ways it sounds amazing. Other ways, some days you feel too close to everyone already who's in the co-housing, so you might want. And that is another thing, too. Sometimes, usually it's the wife is very interested in co-housing and the husbands are not. Many a husband has been dragged into co-housing and some love it. I've heard of some nightmare scenarios where the husband still hates it. And, you know, that's a stereotype, but that's just what I've heard. So it would be the same issue if people don't want to be there, you know, but, and the co-housing, if one spouse is there, you know, depending how involved they are in the community, it does take some time and you're part of that community. So, and I guess the community you, found never took off, but that happens too. So too many times. Is there anything else I missed before we close? Any other?
Well, people can find me online. I have a website, and my book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and I think Goodreads, and, you know, if you just Google my name or Living Happily Ever After separately, you will come up with links online to get in touch with me or get my book. And my full name is Lisa Stryker Stoessel, and that's Stoessel.
So. Very nice. Living Happily Ever After Separately. I love it. Well, like I said, I read it years ago and I still remembered it. So when I heard your name, it was like a celebrity to me, like, ah!
Yeah, if you look at the book or you look at my website and you look at the cover of the book, I'll just note that our oldest daughter did the artwork on the cover.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So it was a family affair. There was chapters by everybody and the artwork. Very nice. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.